This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
10 teams right now. Or Big 12 teams. Is that,
You said Big 10 first.
Well, they have 10 teams. Confused. Yeah.
It's very confusing. Airing every day from
noon to 3.
I have those 1,600 telecasts. Do you have a guess of a number you think would get over 4 million viewers?
I'm going to go 650.
Okay. Hodden?
1680.
I don't know what we're talking about. What is this again? This
I don't
is
know.
Way too much.
He just said 1600, so I said 1680.
He said 650. Oh. I said there were 1600 games. So oh. You think 1650 games of 1600 got 4 million viewers? And then we go to Draven's result. Listen, am I talking to myself here?
On 1340 WKGN.
I'm sitting here doing a conversation, trying to move off the godforsaken, wretched Iowa versus Iowa State debate you guys want to have. Notice Hayden didn't miss the chance to say, you said Big 10, John, it's Big 12. You notice he didn't miss an opportunity there to try to correct me. But when I go to him for a conversation, he guesses that there are 1,650 telecasts that have reached over 4 million viewers the last 5 years, when there's been less than 1,600 telecasts in general. His guess was 1,650.
500.
I don't even want to play the game anymore. Hour number three kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
I want to start with this crazy, crazy story. Dwayne Smoot. You know Dwayne Smoot? It's kind of a funny name.
I know Fred Smoot.
Dwayne Smoot is a starting defensive lineman for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Is he related to Fred Smoot?
I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe.
If not, it'd be kind of weird. There's two Smoots.
I was going to say, don't know a lot of Smoots out there. But Dwayne Smoot last night unexpectedly delivered his newborn daughter 4 a.m. at their home in Jacksonville. Could you guys do this, man? Could you imagine how crazy it would be?
To deliver your baby? I mean, how do you think they did it back in the day, bro?
I mean, I get that, but you think you could do it? You act like you could do it. So, yeah, they were
I've taken a chain and wrapped it to the foot of a baby calf and pulled it out of a mother cow. I think I could do it. I think I could handle it. You just move it around. I think with a baby, you wouldn't even have to put a chain on it. You just slide it around.
I would say you wouldn't put a chain on it. Okay, how big of a chain are we talking?
You got something to get grip on, bro. You got to get like a
just
lot of
yank,
leverage. You gotta get
yank him out of there?
You got to get a lot of torque.
Jesus.
Yep. Then you got to get some leverage. You basically just tug of war. You're playing tug of war with the cow's insides, and
you're just trying to get the calf out. Okay.
What do you want? If you don't get it out, the cow's going to die, and the mom's going to the mom might die too. What do you got to do? Every now and then, it's life or death. There's all the placenta. There's all of that. It's a beautiful thing. If you've never done it before, you should.
I just don't think it'd be a beautiful thing. I honestly do think
the feeling of saving a life, powerful.
I think I would rather just be out of the room when my wife has her child. If I ever do have a wife or a child, I think I'd rather not be in the room. Would that be messed up if I wasn't in the room? Do I got to be there getting my hand broken?
I thought you could stay at the top and not get down there where it gets messy. But I think you can stay up at the top and hold hands.
I just don't think it'd be a very beautiful sight.
Forehead,
in my opinion. You got this, honey. You got this.
Pictures and post them on social media.
Her hair's all jacked up.
Those really bothered me. That was really bothering.
You gotta post everything on social media, bro.
I don't get it. Like, send it to your family, bro. If you need it, send it to your family.
Yeah.
It just seems like a really intimate moment. I've never been there, so maybe I'll just be like, hey, the world needs to see, but just kind of like, I'm gonna wait.
Then you gotta post the Instagram caption, Gracelyn Lynn Jones, 8 pounds, 6 ounces. A beautiful angel today.
If I ever try to, if I ever do that, if I ever have a kid, I feel like, if I do post a picture on the internet, as a celebrity, I'm going to at least wait till the baby's just wrapped up and in the nursery bed or something and just take a picture. Not with the mother there with
Looking a little chest rough. Out,
just,
yeah, just like, looking a little rough.
It just seems weird to me. It but is again, a I haven't bit. Been there, so I'm not throwing stones. It's just back to that chain around that calf.
Okay, man. All right. All right. We get it.
Powerful thing.
You know, like break the calf's leg sometimes? That never happened?
They're flexible. Or not flexible, but just, I think newborn babies and newborn animals are just tougher than we think. You gotta be.
I'll be right.
Clay survived.
This is still pretty crazy, though. They were at their home. They were headed out the door to the hospital, and she basically just fell to her knees, and he had to catch his wife, then deliver the baby in his living room. Paramedics talked through the tying the umbilical cord over the phone, doing all that, so he's getting talked through, getting some coached up as he was doing it. And mom's doing well. Baby's doing well. Everything is good to go. So, still kind of crazy, though. In your living room. Think you could pull that one off? No?
I think if you had to, you'd get it done.
I feel like there's a lot more to it than just you in the living room. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I've heard of people getting delivered in, like, the backseat of cars and stuff. I mean, like, I think
okay, you, Ricky Bobby.
I mean, it's a real thing. You think Ricky Bobby's the only person that's gotten delivered in the backseat of a car before?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
One of my friends got delivered in the backseat of her parents' car, she says.
Really?
That's what she claims. I wasn't there. I can't verify, but that's what she said.
Either way. On the way to the hospital or no?
I assume. I'm sure they just were out riding around for ice cream. Like, doing this. Like, oh, stop around this baby.
You never know.
Delivered or conceived?
Maybe both, but she said delivered. I don't know. That'd be kind of weird for her parents to tell her that she was conceived in the backseat of a car. Hmm. But, you know, when the mood hits, sometimes you got to ride that wave.
Okay, either way, moving on.
Keep the car running with some air conditioning. Like, it's a little hot. So when I start getting sweaty, I'm like, oh, God, just get me out of here.
Crack a window.
Yeah. You can't crack a window. You don't want anybody to see or hear. It's bad. Bad practice. Let's move on.
Yeah, just don't do it. How about that?
Sometimes you gotta ride the wave.
Sometimes, yeah.
Let's move
on. Going to the NBA. Zion Williamson.
He looks so fat.
And people are starting to...
They say he's over 3 clucks. That's not good to be over 3 clucks when you have a foot injury and you are predicated on your athleticism and explosiveness. He's in trouble.
What's the deal here? Do you think that he just can't help it? Is that a situation here?
All of a sudden, the Booger McFarlane jokes are not funny anymore. They are not funny. We are at danger. And whoever's in his camp... Like, maybe they're just trying, like, to sabotage his way out of New Orleans. Maybe that's it. Maybe they're just like, hey, if you don't trade him, he's just going to get
fat. The James Harden mentality.
Maybe. Like, Charles Barkley tried it before he got drafted by Philadelphia. They wanted him to lose weight, so he just started going to Denny's and eating 3 times a day. Got really fat. They still drafted him anyways. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to eat his way out of New Orleans. Like, hey, you got to get him away from the gumbo. He's going to die down here. Too good to eat down here in Louisiana. But whoever in his camp was like, here's what we need. You on a couch playing video games with a big Mountain Dew in front of you. That's good for your image, fat boy. Somebody has sabotaged him.
Yeah.
He looks awful.
He does.
And he's hurt.
And apparently again. The Pelicans staff, some of the people in the office there, kind of noticing a little bit. Yeah, one of the funny quotes was, I know Zion at 280, and he is not at 280 right now. That was one of the quotes coming out of this. So, how big of a concern is this for just him, honestly?
It's a big concern over 3 clucks.
300 pounds. That's ridiculous.
Body starts breaking down, man. Like, it's hard to keep that weight. Like, it's hard to stay explosive with that much weight.
Yeah.
You don't want to start breaking down like Shaq did before you've even had the run Shaq had. Like, when Shaq broke down, at least it was like, hey, you got 3 rings. He didn't break down to like year 8 or 9. Zion might start breaking down year 4 or 5. That's scary.
Kind of crazy, too.
I feel like most Grizzlies fans probably got to be counting their blessings that they got Ja instead. Like, at this point, like, Ja has a higher ceiling than Zion. Or no, Ja, maybe I shouldn't say higher ceiling. But you would bet more on Ja being a star-level player for longer than Zion, right, at this point?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Especially kind of a guard-driven league as well. Moving to FIFA. FIFA has asked EA Sports to double their payment to $1 billion. Yes, that's right. FIFA wanting $1 billion over the next 4 years, $250 million a year just kind of ridiculous, man. I mean, FIFA's a pretty popular game, but good Lord. And EA Sports said no thanks. So they will cut ties.
Did it say what they were paying them?
So that was double, so I'm assuming.
Okay, so $500 million, I
guess. Yeah, something like that. Well, no, actually, I mean, they doubled. They're wanting to double it to $250 million, so they're half.
Right,
of
the, yeah, they're at $500 million over 4 years.
No, okay,
right?
Yeah, over the 4 years, yeah. I thought you meant a year, but no, yeah. So what do we make of this? FIFA.
I mean,
are they that that cool of a game? Is it that popular of a game?
Seems like one of their more popular games each year, especially like if you're EA, like if you don't have.
They got a lot though. Yeah, you know, like Madden and.
That's it, right?
EA Sports.
Yeah, I mean, is EA Sports selling? Like, I mean, I know
they sell
things,
NHL.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, NHL.
They sell.
I would be surprised.
NBA
if NHL
Live every 2 years.
Stratosphere is.
NBA
FIFA.
Live is.
I'm pretty sure they sell that every 2 years, and then next year is going to be.
They only do NBA Live every 2 years.
I think it's every 2 years
because nobody
they
buys
didn't have it.
Everybody
this year.
Buys 2K.
Well, okay, you're making my point. EA Sports
well,
is
just
propped
saying,
up by
yeah.
FIFA and Madden.
Well, they have every sport
well,
other than
next year. 2K. They're starting with college football. It's coming back next year.
That's a good point. College basketball too. I would assume, right?
No, I don't think college basketball. Just college football.
Why? Why would you not bring
college basketball
back?
Got discontinued in 2010.
I don't think people liked the game.
Yeah, and then
you guys didn't like the game. I kind of liked it. I think some updated graphics on there.
That damn
EA Sports just can't make a basketball game. That's
the problem. I wanted to break so many controllers playing in Cameron Indoor against my friend, and he's running the full court trap.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And you're trying to throw it past the middle, and the guy's got the longest arms in the world, stealing passes on the sideline. Like, what the hell is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
I would say
I'm glad that game got discontinued.
It was a video game, but it was like so unrealistic. Like the best player on Tennessee's team in the last game was Bobby Mays, and he scored like 60 points a game. You really pull up from like half court, and he would drain it.
All I remember is if you ran a set play, you always hit the three.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
If you got like you always hit the three if you ran a set play. And those damn full court presses, I had nightmares about them just because you couldn't get it past half court in Cameron because you'd have guys reaching out with one arm and just palming the ball. And a whole bunch of Odell Beckhams out there, I guess.
Again, updated graphics, updated gameplay.
Point
that was 2010. That was a
like
2010
need,
basketball game.
It sounds like they need FIFA, to be honest. When you start actually thinking about the EA Sports footprint.
And, I mean, a lot of people do complain about Madden at the end of the day.
Yeah,
a lot of people
still buy it, though.
I think college football will probably be like, that's probably what they're banking on, because it'll probably be like one of the biggest video game releases in a long time, because that'll be, what, 20, NCAA football 23, so.
So it's supposed to be out next year?
Yeah, 9 years after.
Yeah, the 2014.
So.
Yeah.
No, the first year especially. I don't know if every year, like, how it'll hold up. Like, the first year will definitely pop.
Probably not as good as FIFA. I feel like FIFA's pretty just consistent, like you said, each and every year. So, either way, a little surprised by this. Want to get some recruiting news and then talk a little NFL before I head on here on headlines. Luther Burden, a 5-star number 2 wide receiver, according to 247, commits to Mizzou. I think he chose Mizzou over Alabama, I think was another team on the list. So
Alabama and Georgia. He picked
Georgia
both their
too?
Hats up and threw them.
Seems dumb.
What the hell is this guy doing?
Staying home.
Drinkowitz. How about him?
Staying home.
Yeah. I guess.
I don't know if there are any big St. Louis companies that are coming through with the NILs.
Yeah, that might be something to kind of look into.
But, I mean, if you just look, I guess Columbia's not even in St. Louis. I mean, it's still like 2 hours away, so I'd be no different than Atlanta. I don't know. Good for him to keep him home, though.
Yeah. Something interesting the NFL is putting in. This was announced this morning. They're going to start doing a sports betting kind of public awareness campaign. It'll include a $6.2 million 3-year partnership with the National Council on Problem Gambling, NCPG, if you didn't know, John. And the NFL is trying to build a safer sports betting ecosystem. So, like this move with sports betting starting to ramp up, especially in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because
I think it's good to get ahead of this.
Every time you watch a sports game, there's 10 different commercials
about gambling.
I mean,
yeah.
On the radio station, we do the same thing. So
I do like that announcers and stuff have kind of. They used to try to avoid talking about spreads and stuff like that at any point. Now they're a lot more open about it, talking about it and stuff, too, as well. So probably a good thing with as much gambling, like you said, going around right now.
Good batch of headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
back on the program. Well, Draven, it's just me and you now. MLB playoffs, a couple hours away. Another day of Champions League. Two games underway right now as we get set for a big slate at 3 o'clock. What's got your attention tonight? Baseball, soccer, basketball, Coastal Carolina versus Louisiana?
Well, it's App State. It's my Mountaineers, not Louisiana tonight.
Oh, oops. Yeah, that was last week.
Come on. Don't disrespect my Mountaineers. A little bit more intrigued now that I have a board bet on it, so I might have to watch that game a little bit.
Dip my toes in the NBA a little bit more. I'm kind of excited. I didn't think I was going to be in a basketball mood, John. Still kind of on that football grind a little bit, but I liked the games last night. Thought they were fun. Thought they were interesting, exciting. Kind of intrigued by a couple games tonight, too. Suns Nuggets game should be fun.
Pretty bad night of NBA, though.
Yeah, overall.
You were trying to make the case that, like, Pacers Hornets were going to be the game of the night, so we can't be too excited for this.
Disrespecting Buzz City like that.
No, I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, again.
Two potential playoff teams,
sure. I mean, but it's the Hornets and the Pacers. I don't think even when they're good, they're very intriguing. Although we'll see if, like, LaMelo makes any type of leap in year two. I mean, you know, usually guys get a lot better from first year to second year. So that'll be interesting. You know, Gordon Hayward back. Pacers under Carlisle, so that game is at least somewhat intriguing. The ESPN games, though, I mean, I think those are the two best games. You got the Celtics going to the Knicks.
What do we think about the Knicks this year? Coming off that kind of surprise out of nowhere four seed year.
I think they're going to be the same type of team they were last year, which is gritty, plays hard every night. As long as Thibodeau's there, they'll be like a top 10 defense just because he coaches defense so well and they have effort.
Do we see them still getting a four seed, though? Still being a fourth, fifth best team in the East?
No, I mean, like, their over-under for the year on FanDuel was down to, like, 42. So, I mean, like,
really?
They projected somewhat of a step back, which they'll put them – I would say the Knicks, their goal, their realistic expectation is to try to be the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Get in, you know, where you're not in the playoff situation. And, you know, if they want to do that, they have to win games like tonight at home. They need to do really well at home. And, you know, beating the Celtics, I know it's game one of 82, so it sounds crazy, but, like, it would be a big win in terms of going ahead and potentially getting a head start on the tiebreaker. You are going to be competing with the Celtics on those, you know, five or six spots in the East. It's a big game.
Could say the same thing for Boston, who has a lot of question marks, too, though.
Kemba Walker revenge game.
Hey,
Kemba versus, I want to see Kemba and Marcus Smart mix it up a little bit.
Is Marcus Smart, he is playing, right? Because he was suspended there for a little bit.
Yeah, I think he got suspended for the preseason game.
Was it just preseason?
He missed like a team flight, which at his age seems, you know, as long as he's been in the league, it seems like that's something that would be a pretty big red flag if I'm still missing team flights. But
yeah,
the biggest thing for me in like the first week of the NBA season is seeing who looks like they have made a leap. Like what young guys are coming in to another year. Who looks like they've gotten a lot better? Who looks different physically? And, you know, there's not too many better cases for that than, you know, watching Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Because if the Celtics are ever going to be great, they have to have those guys be great. Tatum, you know, for years people have talked about him being a top 10 player in the league. Is this the year he finally gets there? Can Brown, you know, firmly be a top 20, top 25 player in the league? Because both those guys are going to have to be great if they're going to be, you know, a top-level team, in my opinion.
Because their roster still just isn't that great.
I don't think so.
Pretty average.
But, I mean, if both those guys go into, like, all-star level and Jason Tatum is, you know, first or second all-NBA as a forward level, then that changes the math. Like, these guys are still young. Jaylen Brown's 24. Jason Tatum's 23. Those, you know, they're still young.
Say the same thing, really, about their Schroeder, Josh Richardson, two guys kind of been tossed around a little bit last couple of years.
Well, I don't think those guys are going to get any better. I think both of those have either, you know, plateaued or started to decline. But
still don't have any faith in our boy Josh?
I mean, to say I have faith in him would – I mean, I think he can get back to where he was before. Like, last year, I feel like he was one of the guys that got sunk by COVID.
Yeah.
He had COVID and then just wasn't very good, and I think he was you know, also got sunk by them trying to make him a spot-up shooter in Luka's offense. Not to belabor that point again, but I do think, like, maybe Boston uses him a little differently. Like you would hope, because Richardson is a guy that went from very underrated to overrated, and now like is just back to, you know, no one thinks much of him at all.
Right.
Kind of same as Schroeder, who went from reportedly turning down $84 million to the Lakers to like being on a 1-year deal with the Celtics for like, what, $5 million basically?
Yeah.
So yep. Both those guys have a lot to prove for sure. So that game, actually, I do find pretty fascinating because, again, I want to see if Randall can continue his All-NBA path. And then you got Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker, two guys that left the Celtics to go to the Knicks. Is there going to be any bad blood there? And then, you know, seeing the Knicks fans have been waiting, champing at the bit to get in this game.
Nuggets Suns should be a good game as well.
Yeah, I mean, we talked yesterday about the Suns. That was your prediction for the season, that they are going to, you know, miss the playoffs.
I think they'll be in the play-in game and not win. That would be my prediction for the Suns. Don't you think last year kind of felt like a little bit of, I don't want to say a fluke, because they were a good team, and Chris Paul does that, whatever, but I just don't know if they can sustain that. DeAndre Ayton, again, the contract talks, him not being able to get his deal worked out, I feel like could be problematic as well.
They did pay Bridges, though.
Mikal Bridges, yep.
They paid Bridges. For some reason, they drew the sand, you know, the line in the sand with Ayton. But, you know, I think they're so young with a good young core that they're going to like, I'm banking on those guys improving and getting better. But either way, Jokic defending his MVP. And Michael Porter Jr. would fall in that line of guys I want to see, you know, in another year. He's in that same age range where did he take a leap this offseason?
He got the bag, so you'd expect him to.
Like last year, we didn't get to see much of this because the guys who played in the playoffs turned around and started the regular season within like a month and a half, 2 months, so wasn't a lot of time to develop. There's been more time this year, more of a standard regular season, or offseason, I guess I should say, where guys could have gotten better. But Michael Porter Jr., yeah, he got paid max money.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to be a max player. Kind of the same thing for the Pelicans tonight, you know, with Brandon Ingram. Does he get any better?
That's another kind of interesting game with the Sixers.
Are they going to be able to tread any water without Zion? Are they in trouble? And then the Sixers, of course, yeah, we know the drama surrounding them. Some decent games, I guess. Some decent games. I'm just happy it's back.
What do we think of Ben Simmons comparing himself to Giannis?
I didn't see that. What did he say? More Ben Simmons talk. Give it to me.
Hey, I know. We've talked about him a lot the last couple of days, but I just thought this was just, come on, man. He said, I feel like this team just hasn't put me in the right situation. Giannis just won finals MVP without a jumper. I could produce that at the level in a new environment that didn't cater to a guy like Joel so much.
Wow. I mean, I don't think he's wrong in some of what he's saying because we have seen in the past when Embiid's been out, like Simmons does look better when like it's like him and guys kind of built around him to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember at the end of not last season but the year before, like saying that they need to move on from one of them, and that if I was the Sixers, I might be moving on from Embiid. Like I had started dreaming of a scenario with Trae Young and Joel Embiid as a one and, you know, 1-2 punch, where the Sixers decide they're building around Simmons. Obviously, personality wise, that didn't work out. I will say the biggest difference is like Ben Simmons is missing the point. Giannis is unbothered. Giannis is not terrified to miss jump shots. Giannis will go out there and go to the free throw line 15 times and throw up air balls and still be attacking the rim relentlessly. When Ben Simmons is on the court, he is, I don't want to say this like for certain, but at times it seems as if Ben Simmons is embarrassed to not look cool, and there's nothing less cool than missing free throws.
It kind of does feel like that a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe it's tied in with having a, you know, famous, attractive girlfriend there on the side watching him as well. Maybe it's just the pressure with Philadelphia, but I do kind of agree. It just feels like he does think, can't screw up, can't not look like an idiot.
People have called him a perfectionist and said that's why. Like, says like he just doesn't want to fail at something. He knows
if he's
he can't
a perfectionist,
shoot.
Though, if he doesn't want to fail, then improve your jump shot. Is it that hard, John, in your opinion, to at least make a damn 16-foot jump shot when almost every, 80% of the league, 85% of the league can do that now? Almost every big man that enters the NBA out of the draft can hit a 16-footer now? Is that too much to ask for, Ben?
I've seen enough of the footage of him in the offseason, though, where it looks like he has like tried practicing it. Like it's not like he doesn't do shooting drills, but it's just like he doesn't want to miss in a game. I don't know. But I'm saying, to me, that's the biggest difference between Giannis and Simmons, and that's where he's missing the point. That's where he's missing the point, because Giannis isn't scared. He didn't shy away from big moments. Giannis has failed and like comes back and does it again and does it again and does it again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Talk some NFL in hour two. Just dove into some NBA tonight. Where do you want to go next? College football or baseball? What do you got?
Probably have to go with college football myself, John. You know what? Baseball, World Series, I'm going to be into it.
You said
I'm
going to
watch every game. I tried. I told you I tried. And I'm not going to – I've bashed enough on baseball the last couple days. There's probably some baseball old traditional baseball players listening, probably hating on me, saying, who's this young cat coming in trying to talk bad about baseball? So I get it. I'm going to quit talking bad. But I will say, World Series, that's where you'll see me at. That's where you'll see me. That's where I'll be all tuned in, all about it, all in.
Well, you can take advantage of NBA tipping off tonight on FanDuel Sportsbook. Basketball season is back. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel Sportsbook. And to celebrate, NBA tip-off FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new customers enhanced odds. You can get 75-1 odds on any team to win. Tonight, I would take I would probably take the Blazers, I guess, over the Kings would be my pick if I'm taking advantage of this. It seems like the longest odds. If you've been thinking about FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. It's easy to use. You can get registered and get deposited easily. They offer you odds boosts and live betting. I did take a bath in live betting on the damn Lakers last night. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS, and get 75-1 odds on any team to win tonight. That's promo code TALKSPORTS, and make every moment more. This NBA season, must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Got a lot going on tonight. I'm actually into this Coastal Carolina game. What else do we have this weekend? It seems like we're getting close to where, you know, teams have to start kind of pulling away a little bit and, you know, kind of solidifying themselves.
Not a great slate, I would say. I only see, what, is there even a top 25 matchup this weekend? I don't think there is, no.
Not one, so we got a bad NFL and a bad college football weekend?
I'm not seeing a single top 25 matchup, nope. Yeah, this weekend's kind of brutal. I think we kind of got spoiled from that college weekend, what, 2 weekends ago? Just absolutely insane, great games all over the place, which, you know, you could have that again, could have some upsets, but... yeah, not great.
Not one top 25 matchup?
Not that I'm seeing.
Which I guess, I mean, yeah, like you said, maybe we just got spoiled. Top 25 matchups aren't usually just like a given, but still usually get better than one.
I'm kind of curious where game day, where they're going to be at, because not really a marquee matchup or anything either. I mean, you have the night game, Ohio State at Indiana. We know that's going to be a blowout. Tennessee, Alabama. I guess Oregon at UCLA for the Pac-12 could be interesting.
So if I say tonight is one of the best games of the college football weekend, you say what?
I say, really? Say, really? That? Coastal and App State? I mean, you might be right, but on a Wednesday night? Wednesday night football is the best night for football this week? Are you kidding me?
Am I wrong?
I mean, Clemson Pitt. Hey, Clemson's underdog for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, when is the last time Clemson was underdogs in a regular season game?
I had that pulled up. I'm going to try to find that again. I want to say it was like 2015 is what I just said.
Oklahoma State has to go to Iowa State. Is this correct? Surely this isn't right. On ESPN, because it has it as a set, it has Iowa State favored by a touchdown. That can't be right. The number 8 team in the country is going on the road at Iowa State and the 7-point dogs. Surely that has to be.
I mean, on FanDuel, Iowa State's -6.5.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Again, Oklahoma State's the number 8 team in the country.
Just beat Texas.
Did somebody get hurt? Am I unaware? Like, did they have like a quarterback go down? I didn't watch any of that game.
I mean, I don't think Spencer Sanders is hurt. Not that I know of. And Iowa State's not been very good either. I guess they've won and lost a couple of games, but I'll make sure Spencer's not hurt.
And that's it.
Yeah.
They're 6.5-point favorites.
Which, I mean, they were underdogs last week. I know it was on the road in Texas, too, but Texas may probably better than Iowa State. But, yeah, I mean, Spencer Sanders is not hurt. No injury or anything like that, and that's starting quarterback.
So maybe that's the best game then, I guess, if you have a top 10 team that should lose and go down the road. Although, what does that say about your top 10 team if they're 7-point under? That has to be, I don't want to say a record, but like, can't think of too many times a top 10 team would go into a road on the road against an unranked team and be a touchdown underdog.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Iowa State's not good. What is this? Why do people buying in Ohio State? They're terrible.
Iowa State.
Iowa State, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Seems a little absurd to me.
They haven't beaten anybody this year.
Okay, so maybe that's the best game.
Best game to bet.
So you're locking in.
I mean, I would feel pretty good. The +210 on the money line right now, honestly. I wonder where that opened up. I wonder if that's come changed any as well.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That's kind of crazy. Intriguing Oregon UCLA?
I mean, I guess that's another situation because UCLA's favored only by, you know, less than a field goal.
Really?
But they're favored over Oregon at home. Oregon's a top 10 team, so.
Oregon looked awful. Was that Friday night or Thursday night whenever they played at Cal and didn't look good? I think it was Friday night.
Yeah, I wish I would have had that on my board because it was just one of those, you know, trends that was just like Oregon doesn't beat up on teams. I guess I did have it on my board. I didn't have the Clemson one on my board that also was equally ugly with the home, you know, with the ranked team winning. But so I guess we're looking at a boring weekend, but also we should have two top 10 teams go down, at least by point spread wise, so maybe it's not that bad. Okay, I guess. College ball rankings seem kind of dumb. Wisconsin is 3-3, favored on the road against the number 25 team in the country that we're just putting at number 25 because they beat Iowa.
Is that Purdue?
Yeah,
it's 25
like it just seems
right
really,
now?
It seems really, really strange.
Are you kidding me? What are we doing?
Notre Dame only a touchdown favorite at home against USC. A 3-3 terrible USC team. Seems like there's just a lot of mid, if you will, once you get past Georgia. Yeah. Like it seems like, you know, I guess they'll give Alabama the benefit of the doubt, but everyone else is beatable and can go down, as we saw, you know, number two last week, Iowa. Just got absolutely shellacked.
7 points against Purdue.
Okay, I guess. All right.
Could be an upset-filled weekend, John.
I mean, if UCLA, I mean, I guess they have a lot to win if they are able to get to 6-2 and beat a top-10 Oregon team. That seems like it would be a pretty big deal for Chip Kelly to get to 6-2.
Yeah.
4-1 in the Pac-12. Kind of wild, you know, 2 years later that Ole Miss is, you know, basically 10-point favorites over LSU.
Wow.
What's more surprising, that or that Pittsburgh is favored at home over Clemson? Because imagine telling yourself that before the year.
Probably the Pitt-Clemson, honestly.
But it's wild because I guess the spread makers are giving them more credit. The top three quarterbacks in the country so far have all been on Tennessee's schedule. You got Pickett, Corral, and Bryce Young. Now, of course, you know, Tennessee's played two already, 0-2. And we'll play number three this week, so probably going to be 0-3. So I guess on one hand, three of your four losses are the top three quarterbacks in the country. On the other, Pittsburgh is 5-1, has the number one quarterback in the country, and yet they're still ranked number 23. So does that tell you that people feel about them when it comes to actual voting?
The thing is, though, did you see the highest percent chance to make the college football playoffs? PFF College released this.
Is Pittsburgh in the top?
Pittsburgh's sixth. They were sixth. It was Georgia at 88%, Oklahoma 75%, Bama 54%, Cincinnati 50%, Ohio State 43%, and then Pitt.
And that's current
at 18%.
Right. That's current right now?
Yeah. I mean, they released that this morning, five hours ago, they released that. And I saw Pitt and I was like, are you kidding me?
Does that not seem kind of dumb for a team that lost to Western Michigan?
That's what I'm saying. And even if they do, let's say they do win the ACC, they're going to have pretty much zero quality wins. Even beating Clemson at home, you're favored. I mean, really, in reality, you should beat Clemson at home this Saturday.
That's kind of sad for them. Like, they'd be so much better off if Clemson was like at least ranked in the top 20.
Yeah, something.
The way you could point
at the end of
something.
The day, they're not going to have a ranked win really at all on ACC schedule. Unless, I mean, no, they don't play NC State or any of them. Wake Forest don't play them. Oof.
If you're Pittsburgh, would you rather play a Clemson team that's kind of in shambles and most likely beat them, or would you like rather have a chance to have like a huge game to present your case? Because if you beat like a top 15 Clemson team, maybe you move into the top 10.
I would think they would wish Clemson didn't lose to, who was it, NC State?
Yeah.
Or that second loss?
Yeah.
Because what would be Clemson be ranked if they didn't lose that game?
I mean, probably still around number 15 or so.
I would say, yeah, probably top 15. Maybe right in that top 10 range with everybody losing this past week too, a couple of losses.
Because Clemson still only has two losses, and one of them is to Georgia.
Right, yeah. Still just, what, a touchdown loss in that one, so.
We'd overlook a lot of their warts and, like, you know, how bad they are offensively. Which
it is crazy how bad they are offensively, John.
It's,
I mean,
they
haven't scored 20 points in their last two ACC games. It's still one. That's what's even crazier. 19-13, 17-14. We didn't even really talk about that Syracuse game where Syracuse had to miss a game-tying field goal at the end of the regulation for them to even win that game.
And then to see them dancing. I mean, I get it. You're going to celebrate every win. But to see, like, Clemson dancing on the sideline in the locker room for escaping Syracuse because of a missed field goal.
How far they have fallen, huh?
I mean, I couldn't help but feel that way. It was just like, really?
Yeah.
That's where we're at? Seriously? Is it like an easy fix for Clemson? Is it just like, hey, we'll just get our quarterback fixed and everything will be fine? Because I'm sure they got another big quarterback coming up the pipeline, but he would be a freshman, I would assume.
Right. I don't know.
Do you go and like get a transfer quarterback? Because, like, I mean, there might be a pretty big name coming out of Gainesville. That stuff seems to be really spilling over with Anthony Richardson down there.
Yeah.
He was asked about him, basically, like, I'm a Gator now. That's all I'm going to say.
Oof.
That was essentially what his quote was.
Now, huh?
That's essentially what he said. Like, yeah, I'm a Gator now.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Clemson's issues are not just the quarterback position. They haven't been able to run the ball really either.
Their defense is still top five, though.
Their defense is still great.
We talked about the stop rate. They're still winning that, like, I think, at a top five clip. And it's just been the offense is so bad. So bad.
Tony Elliott. Oof.
I don't imagine he's going to get any head coaching jobs.
I was going to say, yeah, I'd say his name's going to be not heard of much here in the next couple off seasons.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Ways possible.
I'll stop.
Pump your brakes, kind of hateful, kid. Had you not.
I know.
Man dies after friends pump air up his rectum.
Say that one more time for me.
Man dies after friend pumps air up his rectum. Now the cops are left wondering, was it just a prank or was it murder?
How much pumping of air was done for him to die? That'd be a lot, right? That'd be sitting there pumping for a minute, or am I mistaken on that one?
According to the police, the 23-year-old victim and his friend would clean each other's clothes off using an air compressor after finishing their shift at the export firm based in wherever they're at. On a fateful day, the two were cleaning up before leaving for home, and that's when Farhan apparently allegedly pumped air up his friend's butt. Doesn't say how much. Said the other guy started to feel unwell. The one guy then took him to his home, where his condition further deteriorated, and the guy's family then rushed him to the hospital later, where he died.
Hmm.
When we dropped him off at home, he was unwell and his stomach was abnormally inflated, says a family member.
What's the... Well, is there like an official cause of death? Like what it exactly did to make him die?
No, not that I see. I guess you just can't put all that air, like compressed air. Like I guess it would poison
you know what
a little
happened?
Bit.
This was a prank, man. This is probably something that was going to go on TikTok, something like that. These pranks, man, they're getting out of control. What was the kid in Nashville who tried to pull off a prank and got shot?
Yeah, some of these are a little far. I haven't seen the one where you blow air up your butt, though. I haven't seen that one.
What would be the point?
I don't know. You know, just play with your friend. You know, just shoot air up his butt. Who hasn't done that?
Regular stuff, huh? Hmm.
You got anything yet?
Yeah, I do, actually. Let's see, how should I word this? The college basketball is going to enforce this less. Does that make sense? Enforce this less? Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a cool story I've ever heard in my entire life.
3 minutes to kill all this.
Can I hear it again? Do you have time?
Is it charging?
It is not.
Is it blocking?
It is not.
Okay.
It is traveling. Apparently, reports are coming in. Some Big 12 officials talking about... some of the kind of moves from the NBA starting to trickle down a little bit to the college game, and that you're probably going to see less traveling called because of that. Said it's difficult with the Euro steps and all that, but their officials are now going to allow some of the Euro steps, some of the moves like that that are seen in the NBA in college basketball now.
Then I think that we've all kind of like come together and be like, it's not charging or not traveling, it's kind of accepted.
What, the Euro step?
Yeah, like some of those, I mean, like, look weird, but we don't think of them as really traveling anymore. The college game has punished those players, but, I mean, I don't think this is a bad rule change. I like it.
It says officials have essentially been told by National Rules Committee not to nitpick on travel calls whatsoever. So it is only blatantly, if it's blatant, and you could... obvious as possible, that's when they'll start calling these. So I don't know, I think it will be kind of annoying a little bit, just because it is frustrating in the NBA a little bit when you see an obvious travel that doesn't get called, and if you're not going to call them consistently, it could make it become pretty obsolete.
It does
it
seem
all.
Like that will be pretty jarring in the college game for people that don't watch a lot of NBA, right? Like if you watch a lot of NBA, it can be jarring the other way, or just kind of like everything's a travel.
Yeah.
But if you aren't someone who watches a lot of professional basketball, you're probably going to hate this rule.
Mm-hmm.
But it might lead to better offense and a more fluid game.
Some spin moves, some Euro steps.
Now, are they going to allow – does that mean we're going to have the gather and, like, step back three, like, make it to college basketball? Because every now and then you have guys try that in college, and you're like, nope, that's travel. But, you know, in the NBA, you are allowed that kind of pickup. Step, gather, or pick up, you know, gather is the pickup, and then, you know, take two steps back to get yourself
right
open for three.
I would say
some
of that stuff's a little obvious, though, isn't it?
For sure.
You know, I think that's where you'd probably try to draw the line. I think it'd be more probably players attacking the rim, trying to make moves, I think is probably where you see it most.
I mean, I don't even necessarily have a problem with the step back gather. I'm not someone who wants to watch more.
Yeah.
Whistles, more travel calls in my sports, just because the college basketball game has really, you know, been hurt over the last decade just by over officiating.
Yep.
I would maybe start with like, hey, let's err on the side of less charges. Let's kind of try to reward guys for attacking the rim. I want to reward the offense. I want higher scoring. Now, sure, I don't want to like get rid of the charge call. I think you should have to have it, but it does seem like in college basketball, every call that's at least like 30-70 goes the way of a charge.
No doubt. I feel like you don't see as many travels called in college basketball, or haven't maybe noticed them this past year. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have asked me what the, you know, it's funny. I don't know if it's typical college basketball or what, but if you'd have asked me to name the problems with college basketball, travel calls would have been low on my list, probably.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have started, like I said, with the block charge.
Mm-hmm.
I was about flipped out of this chair. I'm not used to sitting up here. That was almost bad news there. That was almost big bad news. Would you have laughed at me had I fallen?
Probably.
All right. Got a good sports night coming up. We'll do it again tomorrow on Thursday. Maybe we'll get in the Tennessee-Alabama mood, but...
Still not there.
Just been beaten.
Still not there.
Just beaten down by this Ole Miss game. Russell Smith. The Drive. Rick Butler in studio. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.